All right, so we're going to move from the Midwest back to New England and just share with you some research that I've been looking at the effects of land use in riparian zone soils in southern New England. Just a brief overview of my presentation. I'll just have an introduction, look at the objectives of the study, the methods, and then go over a generalized land use history of this region, southern New England, and then look at the indices of land use change that we've developed in these riparian soils, which include soil morphology, pollutant metals, and pollen stratigraphy. And then we'll look at the effects of land use change and apply it specifically to riparian sedimentation rates, carbon dynamics, and then wrap it up with some conclusions. So a little introduction on the riparian zone. It's an important link between aquatic and upland systems. It's a diverse landscape, has multiple environmental functions, including groundwater denitrification, acting as a sink for carbon and sediment and metals. And then land use change has the capacity to increase sedimentation rates and downcutting in these zones. So since they're contiguous to the stream systems, they grade vertically over time. And we can actually look at stratigraphic indices to kind of look at land use change and constrain that within these soils. And so the objectives were to come up with a set of stratigraphic markers that we could use in this region to look at land use effects in these soils and then utilize them to quantify these effects on specifically sedimentation and sequestration rates of carbon. So we looked at 18 representative headwater watersheds, which are contiguous to perennial streams, which are typically less than 500 hectares in size as far as watersheds. They're hydric soils, and septosols and entosols. They're all mineral soils formed at alluvium over outwash. So this area was glaciated. I mapped at the series level as Raypole, Romney, Scarborough, and Walpole. And the watersheds had varied land use, which includes urban, agricultural, mixed use, and forested. And then I described the soils from deep soil pits that I dug by hand in these riparian zones up to 1 meter. And then we looked at the bulk density, particle size distribution, pollutant metals. We took pollen samples and also looked at soil organic carbon. So these are the study watersheds. They're within the Thames River watershed, the Pawcatuck River, in the Narragansett Bay. These three basins drain approximately 10,000 square kilometers, or one-third the area of southern New England. And these are all headwater riparian sites situated within those areas. So just a little brief outline of the general land use periods and the indices that we use to kind of constrain those land uses within this riparian alluvium. Looked at the pre-colonial period, which is a land use period characterized by no land use. So about 17,000 years before present, after the Wisconsin glaciation to about 1650. And then the colonial agricultural period, about 1650 to 1900, we can really pick up some indices, especially from pollen, by looking at rise and peak ragweed. And these assumptions are actually supported by 12 carbon-14 dates that we have in these soils. So the rise in ragweed is dated to about 1780 AD. Peak ragweed about 1850, so it actually lines up quite well with our historical documents that I'll show on the next slide. And then the modern industrial or urbanization period, about the last 100 years, you see an increase in coarse materials because of impervious surfaces have increased the flows within these riparian areas. You also see the presence of human artifacts, which I'll show a little later. And then you see rise in pollutant metals. One example would be lead. And these assumptions are also supported by two lead 210 cores. So this is some historical census data for Rhode Island about 1850 to 2000. And you see peak agriculture, about 80% of the land cover in 1850 was agriculture, followed by a steady decline to about 2000, where urbanization has taken over since about 1950. And so now the main land use in southern New England is urban land uses. So something about the indices, these are for the more modern last 100 years. We look at soil morphology and pollutant metals. As I said, we look for coarser deposits on the top upper strata of these soils. We look for buried horizons like an AB horizon. We look for combination horizons like an AC. This is an example of one from Burrillville, Rhode Island. And they're really indicative of short-term stability within the riparian zone because you have alluvium deposition, and then a short period of stabilization where an A begins to form and it's progressively buried over time. We also look at human artifacts, which are like a U, a subordinate distinction, like a CU, C horizon with some artifacts in it. And then we look at the pollutant metals like lead, copper, zinc, cadmium, arsenic above background levels. And on average, we see 3 to 6 times higher levels of these pollutant metals in the surface horizons of these alluvial soils. So here's some examples, some beautiful artifacts that I've found in riparian soils. No gold doubloons, but we get some nice Coke bottles, Jim Beam bottle, McDonald's play toys, some socks. We got brick, asphalt, styrofoam, and shingles. And these can be found quite deep, up to 50 to 100 centimeters in urbanizing situations. And then just a little about pollen. The area in southern New England was largely impacted by agriculture in the 1800s, so we had about 80 to almost 90% land cover of pasture and agricultural land use, and that's not the case today. And so these impacts are evident in the pollen record that's progressively built up in these riparian zones, and we look specifically for ragweeds, which are kind of spiny, trichloporate kinds of pollen. They're pretty distinct, and we also look at grasses, which are kind of a round, smooth, monoporate type. And so we quantify these and look for big spikes in that, and then we can constrain that period of time within these riparian zones. And so we took these indices that we developed and applied them specifically to soil sedimentation, soil organic carbon. So these are some of those data. And what you can see is 70% of the riparian sediment and 84% of the soil organic carbon that's in these riparian zones within the alluvium has come in since the post-colonial time periods. And this, to some degree, explains why it's tough to predict the amount of sediment, the amount of soil organic carbon that we're going to find in these riparian zones based on current land use or geomorphic factors like watershed size, because the colonial period, which we don't have a direct metric for as far as like aerial photos or something like that, makes up the majority of the sediment and soil organic carbon that's found in these systems. So then we applied this to look at sedimentation rates over time, and what we found is there's been large increases in sedimentation within these riparian zones since the pre-colonial time period. So you find 115 times greater sedimentation since pre-colonial time periods, with 135 times greater in the past 100 years and 90 times greater during the colonial. And these aren't significantly different, so there's a lot of variability in this urban time period. So, and it looks like the same graph, but this is carbon sequestration. And so megagrams of carbon per hectare per year. And what you find is the exact same trend, 225 times greater carbon sequestration overall since pre-colonial times. So what we can take away from this is that these zones are acting as large sinks for both sediment and carbon, and they continue to do so even today. So just some general conclusions from these data and what we've looked at. And we found that soil morphology, pollutant metals, and pollen stratigraphy can be used to successfully date riparian deposition. And using a combination of those as well with carbon-14 and lead-210, we've come up with some pretty successful dating techniques. And we can see that land use change has had significant impacts on riparian sedimentation and carbon sequestration. And this is just kind of a visual example of a riparian zone that's within a forested watershed. So we have a carbon-14 date of some charcoal at about 44 centimeters, which came up to 1770 AD. So the pre-colonial riparian soil surface is this thick, dark, buried A. Everything above that has come in the last 350 years. And this is glacial down the bottom. And to put that into perspective, it would have taken 500 years to accrete 1 centimeter of alluvium in the pre-colonial surface, where it would only take 4 years above that surface. So we can see that riparian zones are acting as large sinks for sediment and carbon, and they're kind of keeping up with the urbanization and the land use within their watersheds. So I'd just like to acknowledge the USDA who funded this research through an NRI competitive grant, and my advisor, Mark Stolt, Mike Zavada, Jose Amador, and then everyone that helped me out in the field. And I'll just take some questions.